Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date here.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Yeah, okay guys, welcome to another interesting and scintillating episode of the Red to the Bones podcast. On this week's episode, I'm going to be your host. My name is Fledgy, and I'm not alone on this. It's just like the culture is. I'm with two intelligent, two attitude fans of Manchester United. We are waiting to just pour out their mind. So, Juju, you're going to go first.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Juju, the five-star megastar general, and I'm happy to be here. I believe with an incisive analysis of what has gone on in the past few weeks today.
Yes, so Juju, apart from supporting Manchester United, what do you do?
Well, I do a lot of things. I am an on-air personality. I'm a singer, songwriter, a poet, and a banker. Generally, I'm a media person.
All right. So, the other person on the show is going to be introducing himself. Good evening, Mr. Akipelu Toyib.
Good evening. My name is Akipelu Toyib, a.k.a. Abu Lukaku, a social media.
So, we are ready to discuss Manchester United. Quickly, because we don't have much time, we're going to be starting with game today that was played just a few hours ago, the Leeds United game. Abu Lukaku, you are going to be starting. So what do you have to say about that match?
I didn't really watch the match, but from people's commentary, they said the defense is okay, but the attack is very, very poor. Because we had less than like 5 corners, and only at least we're having like 3. So that's very, very poor. And we play them all too, just like normal settlement game of 0-0, and Man U will be playing all day.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting Man U to win, to put the pressure on Man City. 10 points still very, very close. I was expecting Man United to win.
Juju, what do you think about the Leeds United game? Did you see the match firstly? And if you did, what do you have to say about the match?
Well, I'll say Leeds came out, they didn't really come out to win. They were very cautious on the ball and off the ball based on what happened in the first leg. In fact, at some point in the game, the commentator was saying something about their coach spending hours reviewing the video from the 6-2 thrashing at Old Trafford so that there will not be a repeat of such. So you could see it from the way they played. They didn't go all out the way they normally do, like come out and attack. They were very, very conservative and cautious. And on our part, I feel like we could have done better. All we had to do in that first half was to just try and get a goal. If we had tried and gotten a goal in the first half, it would have been a bit easier for us to, you know, build on that. But all in all, it was an end-to-end, very entertaining game, if you ask me.
I would like to disagree with you on that. Entertaining, all through the match, to enjoy the same pattern, just like you said, Leeds were very cautious on the ball. They didn't want to repeat the mistakes. I'm very sure the images from the 6-2 defeat will still play in their heads before that match. On the side of Manchester United, I think it's another day which can clearly tell it that obviously.
But I feel it was entertaining because despite the fact that they were very cautious, it's not like chances were not created. Chances were created, they just were not good enough. We had the better chances, but we were unable to convert them. In the case of Leeds, they created chances too. They were trying to counter. The chances were just not good enough, or maybe I feel our players were just too good, stopping almost all of their chances. But I feel it was entertaining. They were trying to take the risks. It was just not forthcoming. So for me, I'm not happy that we had a draw. We had to settle for a draw. I felt very bad, to be honest.
Yeah. Firstly, we're going to be discussing about Europa League. Just yes or no question quickly now. We are going to win the Europa League.
Is this question for me or for Abu Lukaku?
It's for the both of you. Just a yes or no question.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
So, Juju, if you said yes.
Yes.
No. Akintoye told you no. Okay. So, since you said no, I want you to look at it from a perspective that if you were to say yes, what and what would you have loved to see on ground if the answer was going to be yes for you? That question is for you, Abel Lukaku.
I think the team needs to improve. In every game, I don't trust the team yet. I don't trust the team yet. And we're playing at home first. So, and this is a waveform of the team. The team's only lost the legacy. That's what I think.
Okay. So we want the team to improve. Yes. In what area and what area is on
there? It's attack. Just attack. Our defense is very, very, very okay.
With Maguen, Lindelof, Shaw, and Wan-Bissaka. Maguen even recorded the EPL record today. He hasn't made any games since last year in EPL. So the defense is very, very easy, but the attack.
Okay. Gija from the Ben is now here. Since you say yes, so what do you think are chances of winning this Europa League?
I said yes because I feel it's obvious that we're getting better and better. I would have loved to agree with Aburo Lukaku that our attack is not good, but I disagree. Our attack is not bad. In fact, we're not doing bad at all. We are creating chances and have the likes of Pogba and Bruno on the pitch at the same time. That's an overflow of creativity. All we need is for our forwards to be at the top of their game. And everybody knows that when our forwards are at the top of their game, we're very lethal. So I believe our chances are high. All you have to do is cross Roma first. And yes, we might be playing at home first. The whole home form for this season has not been as good as it should be. But if you've been following, you would realize that it was said that part of the reasons was that the coverings of Old Trafford were in red. And you know our home kit is red. I know it sounds funny, but actually, I actually kind of agree with that excuse. And you could see a little difference in the way we played against Granada in the second leg of our quarterfinals. The game was, teamwork was just there. It was very obvious. All we have to do is keep up that teamwork. And to be honest, when we play like that, we can beat any team. We can break down any defense.
Our team are opponent, and we are going to play themselves at Old Trafford. We are both acknowledge the fact that those United team currently are better on the road than at home. But just for perspective, Roma are sitting seventh in the Serie A, and in their last five Serie A matches, they have drawn two matches, lost two matches, and have won just one match. So I think that is something that should give us a little bit of confidence. Considering the fact that on our own end, we are having like a very good kick with wins and all of that. So, if I'm going to ask you, which two players are you scared of in the USA map team presently?
I'll just say one.
Okay.
The only player I'm afraid of in the US Roma is Zeko. That guy is very, very, Edin Zeko is very, very good in the ball. Everyone will be aware that Zeko is very, very good in that aspect. Zeko is the only guy I fear there. Zeko, and maybe Smalling too. You know, all these old players might, that they might pull up a Puyol thing or a Ferdinand against us, so stuff like that.
Okay. So, these are some questions both to you. Which player that you are afraid of currently in the UEFA team?
Well, I won't say afraid, but yeah, the person that I'm kind of concerned about should be Zeko, and then probably Mkhitaryan. Just like you said, Zeko is a threat in the box. It's someone, I would say it's like a low-budget Zlatan, because he's very strong. Yeah, physically he's very strong, and his aerial ability is very good too. But I believe if we can have a top-level Maguire in that game, the problem of Zeko should be solved. Then Mkhitaryan, just like you said, old player grudges. If you could remember, I think the last game we played against Arsenal, when Mkhitaryan was still playing for Arsenal, he turned up very well in that game. I believe it's definitely going to be like that against us on Thursday. And as we all know, Mkhitaryan is someone that has flair and is actually a very creative person. I've not really watched him much since he joined Roma, but if there's one thing I've understood about players like him, even if they're not in a very good form, when they meet their old team, they always tend to like turn up very well. So I would say Mkhitaryan and Edin Dzeko. But Mkhitaryan, if I have McTominay in the middle of the park, problem solved. And if he decides to come in from the wing, I have Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw, so I have no issue with.
Yeah, so Mkhitaryan, who is a former player, and alongside Smalling, He is like a very integral part of their defense these days. Eden Dzeko, the super sub, I think he had good spells against Manchester United when he was in England.
Yes.
And another person we are not mentioning is the regenerated Stefan El-Shaarawy. He seems to be playing football only when he is in Italy, because he went abroad for a little while and it didn't do well for him. And now he's back with AS Roma, and it seems he has picked up some very stops. The little file. I'm very sure you guys are confident that Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw will be able to do that threat.
Yeah, I'm very confident. My two wing backs are very good, and we all know Wan-Bissaka hardly ever has a bad day. As for Luke Shaw, he's in the form of his life. So yeah, the threat of El-Shaarawy and Nigeria, I feel it will be neutralized.
Yeah. Well, now talking about Luke Shaw, I saw this somewhere that they are calling him Shawberto Carlos or something, and it's very nice. You see, even the form of his life, and that feels very nice if you ask me, because Shaw right now, he's probably the best player that you know right now.
He's the best currently, if you ask me. He's the best.
I mean, do you agree with that?
There are many good left backs too, but sure is good.
I know you will call the likes of Alphonso Davies. Let's see, who could you possibly call? There are not much. Now, the thing with Luke Shaw is, it's not just the fact that he's in the form of his life. You know, for someone like Davies now, he's more of an attacking player than a defensive player. His defensive game is not as good as... But Luke Shaw has managed to find a balance that he attacks well and is still able to come back and defend properly. So I think, he's one of the best in Europe, top three, but in England, he's the best. There's no debate on that.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Because Manchester United just posted Luke Shaw's stats. 50 league chances created in just 2021. So what's about the team is that the forwarders are not bringing out the best of all the rest of the players. The forwarders are not bringing it out at all. But Luke Shaw is good.
So, talking about the forward, this is one of my agenda, but let's just dive a little bit into it. Do you think the team has missed Anthony Martial?
Yes.
Yes.
Very
yes.
Well. I was telling somebody today that if Martial was in today's game, I was 100% sure that we were going to score goals, more than one. At some point in the game, I realized something. The Leeds players, they were marking in twos and in threes.
Like, yeah.
The moment a player holds the ball, they close him down in threes, give him no space. Now, those are the kind of areas in which Anthony Martial functions very well. You know, he has that ability to draw players to himself and create tiny spaces and for his teammates and release the ball. So if he was in this game, and if you watch the first leg against Leeds, he was one of the reasons, that's why they gave him man of the match. He was one of the reasons why we scored those six goals, because he was just too good for them. They couldn't stop him. So yes, we missed him. With him in the team, we have chances of scoring more goals. Even if he doesn't score, his impact is always felt. He can hold up play and distribute passes and create chances. So yeah.
Yeah, so talking about Anthony Martial, we are going to be moving to another player who is in the attacking department. Who recently, I feel, there has been a progress in his game, and I target the slow, steady, and effective progress of no other person but our number 11, Mason Greenwood. Mason Greenwood has been good these days, taking away the goals. I think his overall gameplay has improved. He has started playing more mature football. If he just gets back his scoring boot, I'm very sure that he's looking like someone who could be a star for the future for Manchester United already. So, what do you think about Mason Greenwood? Are we being having like a Lukaku replacement in Mason Greenwood?
I don't think he's Lukaku replacement yet. But okay. Greenwood is good. As there was a match he came in late that gave Cavani a cross. That goal I don't even know how to describe that goal. That goal was something else. The pass was something else. Greenwood is good. He's good. I believe with time he will improve, be a standard number 9 or something. He's very, very good.
Oh, I mentioned the fact that when he started, his gameplay has actually improved, is becoming a more integral part of the team right now. So who are we going to be giving the credit? Is it the coach or maybe partner dedication on his own end?
Well, here's what I would say. It's both. The coach has really worked on him. If you can see that the coach has worked on a lot of them. Now, this season, if you notice, a lot of our forwards, in fact, Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial, and Greenwood, even though Marcus Rashford has successfully been able to actually cross the 20 goals mark again for the second season running, you would see that the way they score, the kind of goals that they would normally score, it has kind of reduced. But something has improved in their game. The overall gameplay. Like Greenwood, he's now holding up play better. He can now fend off defenders, unlike before that small touch, he falls off the ball. He can now settle down, detect the tempo of the play. Now, Rashford was someone that a typical cut and shoot. He was a typical cut and shoot winger. He would just get the ball, cut in, shoot. But now he has added something new to the game. And I believe he's still struggling to perfect it. And that's why we're seeing some rustiness. But if Marcus Rashford can perfect the skill that I can see him learning right now, this whole, if you notice, he takes the ball these days, he dribbles, and he doesn't shoot as he used to before. It's not the regular just cut and shoot. He tries to dribble, create spaces. If he can master that, then you'll be completely unpredictable, which means as an opponent, you don't know whether he's going to cut in and shoot. You don't know whether he's going to dribble you. So you have to just expect anything and everything. And when that happens, he can score all kind of ridiculous goals. So I believe this is something that the coach has added to them. But then it now requires personal dedication on the part of the players for them to actually inhibit that skill that the coach is trying to pass. As for Greenwood being replacement of Lukaku, I've never really felt like we missed Lukaku. He was not just right for the United setup. We didn't miss him, to be honest. He was just not good enough for United. He's doing Inter now, and I'm happy he's doing very well. But I do not think that we ever needed replacement. He was not missed. But Greenwood, in the next 2-3 years, I see him as a top-class number 9. And the fact that he can play from the right is also a very good thing. So he has another dimension to his game.
Gigi said Lukaku is not being in the Manchester United team. He showed he was not just good and is happy that he is currently doing well at Inter Milan. So do you think the Manchester United team do not miss Lukaku?
I don't know what to say. Anyway, the goals was with Mayu then. The goals are still here, and we are still providing for the goals. And I'm very, very happy he's at Inter now, trying to win the league, and almost won the league. So he's not being missed at all. He's not being missed. If Martial is very, very at the top of it, Cavani or this Gallo won't be needing them. That's what I think about Manchester United and Lukaku, yes.
Okay, I would like to come to a solution that I'm not sure this is the way Lukaku we have on the group chat talking right now. So we are going to be busy.
I'm shocked. I'm very shocked.
Like I'm very, very, very shocked. But this one, I like it. So we are going to go into the next segment of the podcast. The player in focus is no other person but our own second number 2. Who we thought we are going to give Luke Shaw the run for his money. Who we thought, who we saw on YouTube and we felt like, come on, Luke Shaw can go and be on the bench for all we care. No other person but Alex Telles. I don't know, Lukaku, what do you think about Alex Telles? Alex Telles, just if you are player and focus, so you are free to say anything and everything you think about Alex Telles right now.
I think it's very, very hard for Telles to take his place because even I can't say the coach is not giving him time because Shaw is good right now and he's not someone you can just bench. Telles is good, but Shaw, he might want to leave very soon if he's not getting playing time or alone or something. I think he still needs more time to gel the way he was playing at Porto and the way we play at England now. I think maybe he needs to sit back and watch the game first. With the performance Shaw is giving now, it's very, very hard for him to take his place. So.
Okay. So, Gigi, some people call him the cross and Inshallah merchant. And I'd like to just defend the fact that Telles is around like 27 to his age right now. So, I don't think there's still a chance for him to shoot for somewhere else in Europe. So, basically, since he's our player in soccer, Gigi, I'll just tell us anything and everything you want to say about Alex Telles.
I'm a list. So the whole idea of he needs to do very well to make sure, for me, it doesn't exist, to be honest. I know we always like to tell ourselves, aspire to Maguire, nothing is impossible, but we will know life for ourselves. See, the story of the whole idea of Telles benching Shaw can never arise if Shaw continues like this. Because I don't know the kind of training that Telles will undergo for him to overcome this Shaw. This Luke Shaw we are currently seeing. Telles is trying his best. And I won't say he's completely crossed and inshallah. Alexander Arnold has that title and nobody can compete with him in that. Telles actually has a flair to his game. If you notice, occasionally he dribbles. And yes, he crosses the ball a lot, but he still dribbles and he marks. But every other angle, Shaw is better. Speed, cross accuracy, timing of crosses, and tackles. Like every other, Telles is good, but I like the fact that we have two very good players on our left-back position. And I'm very happy that we have that position and it's making the team better. So I would love for us to keep having both of them for as long as we can and for as long as they are this good. So I really can't say more than this.
Okay. So just for the fact that you are not taking away anything from Luke Shaw and you are not in any way trying to paint a comparison between Luke Shaw and Alex Telles. Right now, Luke Shaw is miles ahead of Alex Telles in the pecking order, especially when you want to look at the kind of coach we have who likes to stick with his players. So just for perspective, I want you guys to rate Alex Telles defensively and attacking wise just over 100. You guys can go for over 100 defensive, how many percent? Attacking wise, how many percent?
Over 100 defensively, I'll give him 65%.
Okay.
Yes, because I feel from at Porto, he was better. You know, Porto is an attacking team. And the kind of football that is played in England is not played in Portugal. So the speed of the game is different there. But for England, as far as EPL is concerned, defensively, I'll give him 65 because you can still see sometimes he's struggling to keep up with those wingers. You know, a lot of the wingers here in England are very pacey and tricky in a way. So he sometimes struggles to keep up with them. He tends to do well when he's already ahead of them. Offensively, I can give him an 80-something, 82.
Wow.
I'll give him 82 because, like I told you, he dribbles. He's a very good crosser, too. He's a very good crosser, and he can cross from any part of the field and to still get into the box. That's a plus. And we already know his shot power is also very good, even though he doesn't get that chance at United because there are a lot of people that can play shots, too. But offensively, 82, yeah.
Yeah, so I will look up. Let me hear from you.
The thing is, for me, I'm here to see the best of Telles. Because this season, all competition, he has just played just less than 17 games. And compared to Porto last season, where he played 31 games in the league alone. So I don't know where Mr. Java is seeing.
He has played a total of 20 games.
I don't know where he's getting the stats from, but I'm here to see the best.
It's interesting to know, Aburo Lukaku, this season, from the beginning of season till date, till today, I've not missed a single game of United. Like, be it Carabao Cup, be it FA Cup, be it Premier League, Champions League before we exited, and Europa League, I've not missed one game. I've seen all of the games. So, any game he was in, I look out for our new players to see what they're made of and what to expect. And from what I've seen so far, just like I said, Telles is not... But the fact that Shaw is in a very good form makes Telles look average. That's the reality. But Telles is not bad. And from what I've seen, I'm very glad we have him as our backup.
Okay. So, we'll look up and continue.
So, Tin, I'm still expecting to see more of Telles. More of Telles in the game. Yeah, but Telles is good. Yeah, attacking the ball is better than that. But defense, Shaw is still the best because that's primary job of a defender. Of a left back, so I think Shaw is for me to see the best of Telles. So attacking, I'll rate him 70. Defense, I'll rate him 80.
All right, we've come to the end of this episode today. It was fun having you guys. Big shout out to GJF and Aburo Lukaku for being with us on the show. This is where we say goodbye on the Red to the Bones podcast today. We are gonna be with you very soon. Thank you for listening.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble,
we don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends, may they come see waiting you save don't see.